In Athens, Georgia, Madeline Peru, her mother and brother moved to Brooklyn when she was five. Then the trio moved to Paris, where Madeline spent her teenage years. Ironically, that's where she developed an appreciation for American music, especially the blues and jazz. Madeline Peru debuted on the international music scene with her 1996 album, Dreamlands. Now, 20 years later, she's released her seventh solo album, Secular Hymns. Madeline Peru was in town last week performing at City Winery. Before the concert, she stopped by our studios for a chat about her career. Your voice has been compared to that of Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and Edith Piaf. I'd say that's some impressive company.
That's too much, yeah.
So had you heard recordings by Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and the
I had
some of the blues?
Heard a lot of blues and Fats Waller and Louis Armstrong, you know, and Bob Dylan and Patsy Cline and Janis Joplin. I'd heard Edith Piaf a lot growing up because my mother spoke to us in French, played a lot of that. I'd heard Billie Holiday, but I didn't have a conscious awareness of her until I was in Paris. So this is the funny thing about France, like, or just anywhere getting out of the United States, is you can turn around and like learn about this country from an outsider's perspective. And I think it really helps. And I think that musically, that's one of our greatest like gifts to the world.
What, yes.
America, even if America goes down the tubes tomorrow, this music that we've given to the world is really, I just read somebody else was saying, I mean, that should be our list of great things. Like France has given us all wine, and it has regions, and it has historical significance in it, and it's celebrated for, it's a national pride. In America, our music is worthy of that.
Yeah, thinking about Paris and Berlin in the 1920s, how they embraced American jazz and ragtime and the early blues in
That's
a way
right.
that it wasn't fully embraced here. It was much more underground here, really.
Yeah.
And
right.
it is a marvelous legacy, and one that you embody in your very own 21st century kind of way, because even with these comparisons to Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, you still sound uniquely Madeline. You are your own, and I think that's especially clear on Secular Hymns, on your new album. Tell us about the title.
The title is just something that a lot of music has a very spiritual quality, and it does not have to be associated with. You know, I always just thought it was a bit odd that some people have segregated music, you know, as if it's not okay to enjoy music that doesn't have the right, you know, mention of a certain God in it, and that I do believe that we can have a beautiful, you know, secular humanist life and a very morally important life and all of that without having to go through that. On the other hand, the title of the record is also really related to just the experience itself because it was timely. We were in a church.
Yeah, tell us about this, a 12th century
church. It really was a 12th century church. And so, I don't know, we don't get a chance to go into a 12th century church in America. So it really does take traveling outside of the United States to understand that these places are different and they exist. And a church that dates back to that era, first of all, is very small. very, very small. But this church did have an immediate effect on me because of the acoustics of this small room that also had wood in it, but it also had this amazing, you know, sort of angelic thing. And I think unlike the churches that we think of when we think of cathedrals or modern churches now here in America, this kind of a place really has like its own architectural presence. And because of this, the scale of it being so much smaller than we think of in general in a Christian church, it's like you're a little bit closer to the heavens, but you're also a little bit more safe here on the ground. Mm. I really felt like I really loved that. And I was like, if I can find a safe place to play music, you know, I'm going to enjoy myself there. And I just, the acoustics were so inspiring.
Was it difficult getting permission?
No, it wasn't too difficult getting permission. It's a very, very small, I mean, it's not a town. I think it's a village. And they were very generous and kind to us. And we invited the local folks, as many as we could get, to come out to the performance. And there was some funny stuff where before I arrived for the show, they were all told to not make any noise. And I thought we were trying to get their reactions on tape. And when I got in, I was telling the audience, you know, it's okay. You can come on, make noise. And they were just like grinning at me and like kind of like tightening their fists. Like, we're with you, but we can't do it. We can't talk. Till the very end where somebody said, no, there's this big scary looking guy that told us not to make any noise until after all of the songs were over. But in the end, I'm really glad that he did, because we do have kind of a pristine sounding recording, and it's, you know, not a typical live album at all.
And the range of songs is just amazing. I certainly want you to talk about what has special meaning for you, but I hope you will also mention Tango Till They're Sore. Mm. My favorite is If the Sea Was Whiskey.
Yeah.
And, of course, Everything I Do Gon' Be Funky, that has a poignant
It does have a poignant
here.
Meaning. It's so interesting how, you know, Alan Toussaint had that quality as well. And I met him, and he had this very understated quality, even I think as a person, where there's something very gentle about everything that he does, but there's a whole lot of meaning behind it. And it takes a while to get at that and to chisel at behind it. And I think doing Everything I Do Gonna Be Funky has changed me. Performing it in the concerts has made me think more and more and more deeper about how hard it is to decide to be yourself and say, I'm going to be who I am. Okay, how do I do that? You know, there's so much going into that.
I got to be myself and do my thing. The little soul can't do no harm. Everything I do gonna be a funky from now on, yeah. Everything I do gonna be a funky from now on, yeah. Everything I do gonna be a funky from now on, yeah.
Tom Waits's Tango Till They're Sore is so much fun.
Yeah, he's able to wake us up, I think, in the right way, but to still say, you know, it almost feels like every time I listen to him, it's sort of like, guess what, everybody? We're on the brink of disaster right now. And I love that, because he's also capable of being like, but we're going to have some fun while we're on this crazy ride.
Start to roar, the boys all go to hell, and then the Cubans hit the floor. They climb along the pipeline, they tango till they're sore. They take apart their nightmares and they leave them by the door. Or let me fall out of the window with confetti in my hair. Deal out jacks or better on a blanket by the stair. I'll tell you all my secrets, but I lie about my past. So send me off to bed forevermore.
And I mean, I've got to think Robert Johnson would smile down on if the sea was whiskey. I had the impression, and I hope it's not just because I love the song so much, but I gleaned that you were having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I love, this is a Willie Dixon song originally, I think, and these old blues songs have always been near and dear to my heart, and I guess I was just lucky that with this trio and in the environment that we've been in the last couple of years touring, we had the freedom to say, oh, let's just try some wacky songs. Let's make it as eclectic as we want, you know?
Whiskey and beer, they don't make me drunk. Whiskey and beer, they don't make me drunk. But I believe my election is gonna make
about the trio. How did you hook up with them?
So I've been playing with John Harrington on the guitar and Barack Murray on the bass for about 10 years. But in the last 2 years, I think I just wanted to get away from the sort of big group touring that we had done right before this with a small orchestra, a string orchestra, and sometimes string quartet. But just, you know, it was a lot of people on stage and a lot of moving parts and stuff like that. I don't know how it just seemed like a very natural transition for the three of us. We already knew a lot of material, but John's very inventive and he came up with a bunch of arrangements. And luckily we ended up with a bunch of new songs, and 10 of those ended up on this record. A couple of songs that are from various eras, Trampin', which is one of my favorite tunes, I heard by Marian Anderson on her Spirituals album, and has become like an anthem for me ever since.
Madeline, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so grateful to be a part of this world and play music with you. Thank you.
Trampin', trampin'.